Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, that we might have ears to hear. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue on our little series in the book of Philippians this morning. Is this working okay, Christine?
Yes.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. And in the passage this morning, there's an awful lot in the passage this morning. And I've had to be a bit selective this morning. And actually, it would mainly be the first 19 verses. But looking this morning at Paul's ministry, his message, and his suffering. And this morning, going over some of the things that maybe many of us will know, but perhaps not all of us, but can still speak to us. So looking at Paul's ministry, which was primarily not totally a ministry to the Gentiles, but at Paul's message, which is the gospel, which we've just been singing about. We have a gospel to proclaim. And then thirdly, looking at Paul's suffering, which he saw and we see in this passage as was working for good, even though it wasn't easy. Now, Paul was famously converted on the road to Damascus. And at that time, this was God's call to Paul, which is expressed through Ananias, where the Lord said, "This is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And I will also show how much he must suffer for my name." And there were many people, of course, at the beginning of the church, who, including ordinary Christians, I mean, there were prophets, evangelists, and apostles, and ordinary people as well, who went out and shared the message of Jesus because they were so enthused and filled with Christ's presence. And there were many, but Paul was rather unique. He had a bit of a unique ministry. He also was highly successful, and he also, of course, wrote many of the letters in the New Testament. And he is called the Apostle to the Gentiles. And this map, which you won't be able to see very clearly, I'm afraid, but I put it up anyway, shows a record of Paul's three missionary journeys that we have recorded for us in the book of Acts, which were essentially into the Roman world at the time. Now, Philippians is circled there in red at the top, and it was during his second missionary journey that Paul visited Philippi and planted the church there, and we saw a bit about that last week. On his third missionary journey, he revisited Philippi as well as other churches, which was to encourage them and to build them up. And he also promised in this passage that he would visit them again, even though we don't actually have a record of that. So last week, we saw that Paul had a special relationship, a special partnership with the church at Philippi. And this is because that they, of all the churches, committed themselves to pray for Paul and also to help him in financial giving. They were supporting Paul, who was taking this message of the gospel out into the nations. But what is the message of the gospel? In our passage here, the gospel is mentioned four times, in verse 12, 17, and twice in verse 27. The gospel is this. It's simply the message that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. And this is the message of Christ's death and resurrection, and that through his resurrection, he's opened up for us the way of salvation for all who believe. The Apostle Peter said this. He said, "In his great mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead." Now, there are a couple of places in the New Testament where it states very clearly what the gospel is. The first is at the end of Corinthians. We've actually got it on the left here. And here Paul is speaking about the gospel, and he said, "What I received, I pass on to you as being of first importance." In other words, this gospel that we have to proclaim is of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, who is Peter, and then to the 12, and after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. This speaks of what Christ did for us through his death and resurrection, which was witnessed by the people who were living at the time. And he did this for our salvation. Secondly, at the beginning of the book of Romans, in chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." So this verse speaks of the power of the gospel message. The power of the message that we've just spoken about here to deliver us from sin and to bring us into a new relationship with God. And last week we looked at the conversion of Lydia, which, if you like, is an illustration of the power of the gospel in someone's life. But actually, in the book of Acts, which speaks of when Paul was in Philippi, we have another conversion story. It goes like this, although a little bit abbreviated. There was a slave girl in Philippi who was a fortune teller. And she earned a lot of money for her masters. And as Paul was in Philippi ministering and sharing the gospel, she was following Paul and his little team round and round, and she kept shouting out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Actually, after a while, this became very annoying. And Paul turned round, and he just cast this spirit, which was controlling this woman, out of her. And immediately the owners realized, it tells us, that they had lost all hope of making the money that they'd been making, which was a lot. And Paul and Silas immediately got dragged before the magistrates. There was a great uproar and commotion in the city. Well, Paul and Silas were flogged, and then they were thrown into prison. That, by the way, is very likely Paul's prison in Philippi, or the remains of it. If it wasn't here, it would have been just down a bit. But this certainly was a prison in what today the remains of Philippi. And tells us amazingly in Acts chapter 16, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. See, in the book of Philippians, it speaks to us really quite a lot about Paul's suffering. But at the same time, amazingly, the book of Philippians is a book which is infused with joy. And actually, the two can go together. And in the book of Philippians, the two do go together. But we'll come back to that in a moment. What happened next? What happened to Paul and Silas next? Well, I think we could say God stepped in. Yeah. It says that suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains became loose. And at that, the jailer, who was guarding them all, became terrified. He thought the prisoners had escaped, which would cost him his life. And so he decided that, well, I'm going to kill myself. But at that moment, when Paul realized what was happening, he shouted out, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." And then the jailer, who very likely and possibly had already heard what Paul's message and had heard Paul and Silas sing praises in the prison, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household." This is the power of the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. There was then some follow-up, and then the jailer and his whole family received the blessing of baptism.